we're going to get into our to the message for today. And today, what I really felt pressed of the Lord, and this is really, this is kind of the condensed version. You're going to kind of get the abridged version of this message. I will be doing this later on, more probably either via podcast or an e-course or something like that. But we are, the title of my message is, we are commanded to heal the sick. And so we have a bunch of sick people in the world. You know, it's kind of funny that, yes, we have the number one, per se, the number one health system in the world, but yet we are the sickest nation in the world. That doesn't make sense. How do we have the best healthcare system, you know, by far, but yet we are the sickest country in the world? And so it just doesn't make sense. But what does make sense is that Jesus is still in the business of healing, and we get to take part and partner in with him, and we are commanded to do that. So in Matthew chapter 10, verse 6 and 7, this is Jesus sending out the 72, and he tells them, he says, "Proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper, cast out demons. You've received without pay, give without pay." So when we come and we hear all these different healing stories in the Bible, and there's tons of them, either in the Old Testament or the New Testament, there's two things that happen. I kind of break it down this way. This isn't doctrine, but this is just how I approach. Is that I tend to see two approaches in people. Number one is this, is that I see a group of people that that relegate the healings in the Bible to the past, and they spiritualize them. God used to heal. The message is that God is powerful. So God used to heal, but he doesn't heal anymore. That died off with the apostles. And there's a word for that, and I forget which one is which, but there's sensationalism and there's dispensationalism. And one is that most of the healings, the manifestations, the signs and wonders died off with the apostles. But I'm the one that I'm really believing, and I'm in the other camp that believes that we are still continuing the book of Acts, and that the signs and wonders still happen. And for someone to say, "Oh, well, healing's not of today," well, then I'm like, you know what? You don't know your gospel. You don't know the scriptures very well, because my wife has been healed. I've been healed. I've seen many people healed. And so Jesus is still healing. So you have that one group. The second group I see a lot is that they tend to overemphasize healing, making it the whole point of the gospel and of their ministry. All God wants to do is heal you. God is all about healing, which is right. God does want to heal your body, but there's some folks that's all it is, and they just have the healing ministry. You know, we've seen sickness healed, but people are still demonized. People are still, you know, they're still living in sin, and so it's kind of like, it really comes down, it's a balance. God wants us to have balance. It's not one or the other, but it's walking all the fullness of what he has for us. And so, but these accounts in the Bible and scriptures are real events. They really happen, and they're in the scriptures for a reason. And that reason is to empower us to go and heal the sick. So today I'm going to talk to a little bit about healing, and then at the end, depending on how long we go, I'm going to kind of give some little tidbits on how to heal the sick. And this isn't the way by any means, but it's a way. So that's my disclaimer. It's not the way, it's a way. And so this is just the way I've done stuff. This is the way I've been trained, and I train people. We've actually, this is one of the trainings we did in Mexico at their ministry training school. So you're getting a really condensed version of this. But would love, as we continue to go on, because I really believe that the fivefold ministry and what we are called to do as forerunner is to equip the saints for the working of the ministry, whether that be at your home, at your job, at your office. And it doesn't matter your age, your you know, whether you're male or female, your economic stature or economic status, you were commanded to heal. The only difference between healing the sick, I'll say it like this. I said it in Mexico. It was really funny because people were like, the only difference between me and you is that I actually go out and do it. That's really the only difference. We've all been called to heal the sick, and it's quite easy. when we have when we do it. So today we're going to look at the healing of Barabbas or Bartimaeus. Sorry, Barabbas, blind Bartimaeus. And we will ask two questions. First question that we must ask ourselves is, can Jesus heal you? And I hope our answer is yes. You would be, and I say that in a joke, and I kind of chuckle at that. I've asked people, can Jesus heal you? And I've heard no. I've heard, I don't know. I'm not, all of these questions, like, I don't know. Can he? I'm like, yes, Jesus can heal you. Why do you think we're here? And then secondly is, will he heal you? And that is one that I've especially seen in the church, and I think it's a really bad doctrine. I don't know who came up with this doctrine, but it's a bad doctrine. And I've heard people, I've been in prayer lines, and people are praying for folks, and I hear, Lord, if it's your will you heal their body? And I'm like, I'm like, well, yeah, of course it's his will. It's his will. It, you know, John 10:10, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. So, yes, it's his will. That's what he did on the cross, by his stripes. Isaiah and in 2 Peter echoes it, by his stripes we are healed. So that is his will. Now, whether the manifestation comes, that's a different story. And we'll get to that here in a little bit. But today, our discussion focus on the concept of healing, particularly in the realm of physical recovery, exemplified by the restoration of the sight of the blind Bartimaeus. However, our aim is to broaden the scope of healing, encompass various aspects such as disease, injuries, emotional scars, and interpersonal connections. When I inquire, can God heal you? Or when I ask the question, can God heal you? I am referring to the potential healing of your body, mind, and relationships. God can heal all this. Jesus can heal all of this. Even if you go back to the Gospels and you have the woman with the issue of blood, and when she's healed, Jesus turns to us. He doesn't say, oh, you've been healed. Your sickness is gone. This is what he said. He says, daughter, your faith has made you whole. What that word in the Greek is sozo, spirit, mind, and spirit, soul, and body. She had a complete overhaul. So not only was her physical ailment restored, but her relational, broken relationships were restored. Because remember, you got to understand Jewish culture. She was bleeding. She was bleeding profusely for many years. And under Jewish culture, she was considered unclean. So family members didn't want to be with her. So there's broken relationships. Not only that, her mind was healed. That's why I said you were made whole. I mean, if you've had a disease for, you know, years upon year, I mean, if, you know, I have a broken wisdom tooth, and I've had pain for a couple weeks, and I feel like I'm going crazy. I'm like, I just can't take the pain anymore. But I could imagine someone who's had an issue of blood where you're anemic and you're bleeding, and the psychological toll that it takes on you mentally. It takes for someone who has cancer or HIV or all these things that are so-called incurable. I can see how that can take a toll on your emotions. And so when we talk about healing, Jesus wants to heal us the whole. He wants to make us whole, spirit, mind, and soul. So let's take a look at blind Bartimaeus. If you have your Bibles, open them up to Mark chapter 10, verse 46. And I'm going to read that. And this is what it says. If you're there, say I'm there. If you're prophetic, you should have already been there. If you're not there, say wait. All right. Verse 46, it says, and then they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples, a great crowd, Bartimaeus, the blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, I think that's how you say it, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and said, call him. And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." And throwing off his cloak, he sprung up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately his sight was recovered, and he followed him on the way. So Jesus is on the road. He's doing what he's doing, and blind Bartimaeus is yelling out, "Jesus, Son of David!" He's crying out. You see, when you're desperate for healing, you do crazy stuff. You don't really care. I mean, you do crazy stuff. I mean, we'll even talk about being saved yet. If you're an unbeliever, if you are in the world, and, well, there's Christians that do this, believers that do this, but when you're sick enough, you do wild stuff. You go get illegal drugs. I mean, when you're sick, you do some wild stuff. But as believers, what we should do, if we are really, truly believing Jesus, we have to be desperate for our healing. It's like, I'm going here. I mean, I remember when Tiff was still struggling with her stuff. You know, me and my buddy Kelvin, we talk a lot, and I've even contemplated going up to catch the fire in Toronto, just so Tiff can go get prayed for. And so it's kind of like, man, you're desperate. You do whatever it takes, because it's like, I need my healing. Especially if you don't have I don't have insurance, so I'm like, Jesus, it's either heal my body or I'm going to be in pain for a while. But the question is, can God heal your body? If you are ill, can he make you or your spouse or your parent or your child well? Can God cure your depression, relieve your addiction, restore emotional well-being? Can God heal what has happened in your marriage or with your parents? The answer is 100% yes. God can heal. And we have to believe that as believers. And it's really funny. I've noticed that for me, I've had more faith and seen more things praying for other people than for my own wife. Don't ask me how that works. But I'll pray for people. I've seen, you know, I prayed for folks and deaf ears are opened up, legs are grown, schizophrenia, demons, all this stuff. I've seen manifestations and they work. I'm like, hallelujah. But when I go pray for my wife, it's like nothing happens. As a matter of fact, usually things get worse. Don't ask me how that works. And so, I mean, there's a point where I stop. I'm like, man, I'm not praying for my wife anymore. I'm just making her worse. I'll get up in the morning. I'm like praying in my prayer time. I'm like, Lord, heal my, I just want to see my wife healed, yada, yada. And I'm going for it. And the next thing I know, I get a text. I need to go to the hospital. I feel really bad. And I'm like, man, what's going on? But the Bible says that Jesus healed Bartimaeus. As Jesus approached Jerusalem, Bartimaeus heard him coming, and he cries out to get his attention. Jesus asks him what he wants, and Bartimaeus says he wants to see. In verse 52, we see Jesus' response. He says, "Your faith has made you well." Immediately, he received his sight. All throughout the Bible, it says that Jesus can heal. Throughout Mark, we have seen Jesus heal people. We have seen him heal people of leprosy. We've seen him heal paralyzed folk, shriveled hands, eternal bleeding, demon possessed, etc., etc. Mark 1:34 says Jesus healed many who had various diseases. In Exodus 6, it says, "I am the Lord who heals you." Verses 2 through 3, it says, "Praise the Lord, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases." He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. The Old Testament is full of examples of God healing people, whether it be the prophet stretching out on the young boy and he came back to life. It was the man who was thrown onto to the dry bones and the bones. I mean, you can go from story after story after story of the times that God healed people. Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 8, and then also Acts chapter 4, 9 through 10, it talks about the crippled man was healed in the name of Jesus. He was the man sitting at the gate, beautiful, and he was asking for alms, and the disciples come by. And they say, gold and silver I have not, but what I do have I give to you freely. Get up and walk. Acts chapter 5, 14 and 16, it says the apostles healed many. Acts 28, 7 through 9, it says many were healed through Paul on Malta. James chapter 5, 14 and 16 says people should expect to be healed. So that should be one of our questions. Do you expect to be healed? The scripture make it clear that God can heal people. Not only that, but there's also more. Our experience says that he can heal. You are all surrounded, and we've heard testimonies, and we've seen stuff, but surrounded by people who could say that they've been healed by God. Here's one such story, you know, I told not too long ago about the little boy who was a hemophiliac, and you know, we prayed for him, and a couple days later he was doctor confirmed. He was healed of being a hemophiliac. There was a lady with we were in our community one time, and we were praying, and her back was hurting, and her leg grew out, and her daughter. Now you need to understand about the love of Jesus. Jesus doesn't really care, you know, who you are per se. He's going to heal you. Now whether you choose to follow him, that's on you. But Jesus wants to see, you know, everyone healed. And so this, and I say that because this lady was a witch. This lady was she was in the white magic and all this stuff. And I'm like, I don't really care. Jesus can heal you. You're looking at the wrong source of power. Yes, the enemy has a measure of power, but that's counterfeit power. It's weak power. Let me show you the true God who has the true power. And we start praying, and her leg grows out. Her daughter's like, ah! Like freaking out, like, what? Okay, this shouldn't be happening. My mom's leg is growing out. What's going on with this? You know, there's a lady. She had a, we think she OD'd, but we were told that she had a seizure. We believe she overdosed, but she fell down, broke her jaw, and you know, we prayed for her. And long story short, she had to get a metal jaw replacement. When we prayed for her, God regrew all the bone over the metal, but she was allergic to the metal, so she had to go back and get it out. And I just prayed a simple prayer. I felt like I had no oil. I was just kind of like, I was tired. I was like, okay, let me just. So I pray, and you know, we see her the next week. She's like, everything Josh prayed was because that happened. I was like, well, what happened? I don't even know what happened. She's like, you said it would baffle the doctors. The same doctors who did my first surgery did this surgery, and they're looking at me like, we know we took out bone, but there's bone here. And so God did a creative miracle. We've seen creative miracles in Tiffany's body. We've seen creative miracles in my own body. Tiff has gold teeth. She had a gold tooth, a gold filling years ago. It was a regular silver, lead, whatever you want to call it, filling. And we had Jeremy Nelson come out to church one time, and man, he was praying, and Tiff's like, I taste metal in my mouth. She's like, it got hot. Next thing I know, she's like, look at my mouth. And everybody got phones and stuff, and sure enough, she had a gold tooth.
And you saw it dark colored start.
Yeah, I know what it looks like. So God is able to heal and do the miraculous. God is more than able to heal. God is more than able to heal your body, your mind, your broken heart. God can heal you. The question is, can we believe this? Can we believe that God heals our body? So the first question is, will God heal you? That's our first question was, can God heal you? We have demonstrated that, yes, in fact, God is able to heal you. But that's not the only part of this equation. There's another crucial question. Will God heal you? It's one thing to say that God can heal you. It's another thing to say he will heal you. Does God want to heal you? Many of us labor under the burdens of unreceived healing. Under what circumstance, condition will God heal you? Now, I don't personally have a question. I can't answer all those questions. I do know this: God is sovereign. And so a lot of times what we say is, you know, well, I've seen pastors and, you know, I've seen folks, we pray for people, nothing happens. And then we run off and say, oh, God, your faith wasn't there, and this and that. And I'm just like, okay. I don't know if I would have said it that way, but when it comes to healing, I don't have an answer. answer for it all. Why do some people get healed and the others don't? I mean, I could anecdotally say this is the reason why, this is what scripture says, this is what I've seen. You know, there's different reasons why people don't heal. It could be one of the biggest ones that I've seen is unforgiveness. That's like the biggest easiest thing that I've seen is people not get healed is unforgiveness. And usually, like for me personally, I'll ask people if we're praying and we've hit like a brick wall, I'll ask them, is there unforgiveness? Yep. Okay. Are you willing to forgive them? Yes. Okay. And I'll lead them in a prayer, and then we'll pray, and boom, they get healed. I've had the first trip to Mexico in September. This gentleman was the second person I've ever had where he was coming all week. We had a week long conference. He was there all week, just getting prayed for there all week. It was like the end of the week. And so I asked him, he told me, I've been having this pain all week, blah, 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 and nothing's, he's like, kind of goes away, but not really. And I said, do you have unforgiveness? He said, yes. And I asked, oh, awesome. Are you willing to ask for forgiveness? And he said, no. And I just looked at him and said, well, there's nothing I can do. and that sounds so harsh, but it's kind of like, no. I mean, scripture clearly states, if you don't forgive, then I won't forgive you. I've seen so many times that of people who are just like, no, I will not forgive them. And here's the issue. And so here's how I went when I'm praying with people. And I tell folks, I'm like, look, forgiving somebody doesn't... it doesn't justify what they did as being right. It doesn't mean that they're right. What it is, it's for you. It's a check of your heart. So are you willing to forgive this person? And some people are like, okay. Some people are like, nah, I don't really want to. You know, other reasons I've seen people not get healed. Sometimes, they come through a family of the occult or witchcraft. And so they have, an open door there. Or they have something there that you got to kind of to go through and stuff. You go back to Daniel when Daniel starts praying and the angel comes down and meets him and says, I heard your prayer the first time, but when I came, the prince of Persia. So sometimes, you know, we're praying for healing and it's, you have opposition of the enemy who's just stopping, you know, opposition. And so that's why we have to continue to contend for healing. It's not, okay, we pray one time. Okay. Well, I guess it didn't happen. And you walk off, you continue to contend till you receive that healing. And so when it comes to people not getting healed, I never say, well, it's your faith or this. Again, it's all out of love. It's, okay, how can Holy Spirit? It's really asking the Holy Spirit, okay, Holy Spirit, what are the keys for this person to receive healing? Is it the occult? Is it agreement? And yes, you can not. There's folks that will not receive healing because they have agreement. Case in point, I was talking with Kelvin, and he told me about a story. He was praying for a gentleman, and Kelvin's like, man, Jesus can heal you. Do you want to be healed? He said, no. And Kelvin's like, why? Because he said, if I get healed, then I will no longer be on disability and get my benefits. There's nothing you can do about that. It's just kind of like, okay. And so I say agreement. Some people, they want to be healed per se, but they don't want to be healed. It's like, yeah, I'm tired of coughing up a lung, but I really enjoy these benefits. You know, it's kind of like, do you want to be healed or do you want to? And so I don't have a direct answer of why people do and do not. I don't know. This is just, I've just seen stuff. But what I do know is I don't stop. I don't shrek back. I'm not like, well, God doesn't heal. They didn't get healed. I guess I won't pray anymore. And that's what happens a lot of time in the body of Christ. We pray for people and stuff doesn't happen. They're like, well, this doesn't work, so I'm not going to do it. And that's not what God's calling us to do. You go and do it, whether they get healed or not. You go out and you're the vessel. It wasn't until 2020 when I was in Mexico. That, and at that time, see, I'm 40, I was about, 32 years ago, so I was 38, 3 years ago, 37, 38. I've been raised in the church, been praying for the sick for all my life, and that was the first deaf ear I prayed for many deaf ears, and nothing's happened. But I kept going and kept going, and just, all right, one of these days, I got to have that deaf ear open. It's like, one of these days. And finally, in Mexico, the lady, gloria a Dios, she went excited. And I was like, and I'm looking at Kelvin, I'm like, it only took me 38 years, you know, but you don't stop. But a lot of people, when they're contending for healing or the anointing to heal, when stuff doesn't happen, they're kind of like, I guess it just doesn't. I don't have the faith. I don't have this. One of the biggest things when it comes to healing that I tell people is always come with an expectation of faith, of expectation. I'm talking about you praying for somebody. You never want to go up to somebody, Lord, would you like healing today? And Lord's like, yes, I have a broken arm. I need Jesus to heal me. Okay, well, we're going to give it our best. We're going to try. No, you don't want that. I mean, if somebody prayed with me like that, I'd be like, nah, man, I'm good. Don't even pray, man. I'll just hobble back to my seat and I'll go find someone with faith. You go in, even if it's, you know, I mean, I've had people tell me stuff where in my mind, I'm like, holy smokes, this is way out of my mind. I've never done this one before, but they'll never know. I'm like, all right, let's go for it. Jesus will. Oh, yeah, Tip saw that. I never prayed for a guy with schizophrenic. We were in Mexico at a rehabilitation center, and we were live streaming this, so Tiff was watching. And so the warden comes up and whispers in my ear, he's schizophrenic. And I'm like, I look at Kelvin, I'm like, Kelvin, I'm like, help me. And he just looks at me and is like, you got it. And so I was just like, well, but again, you don't, my dad always said this, never let them see you sweat. You know, you never let, just, okay, man, we got this. And you just go for it. And so as we're praying for people with healing, never go in thinking, oh man, it will, I mean, you can, even if you think, like that time I prayed with that lady, I felt I had no oil, no anointing. I was tired. Yeah, I said, man. Yeah, we walked away, and I said, man, I ain't got no oil on that one. I hope she gets healed, you know. But it's not your job. You're not the healer. I'm not the healer. You know, I had this poor lady. She was like, thank you for healing me. I felt like when you were praying for my back, I felt like you took the pain. I said, no, I didn't take the pain. I said, that was the Holy Spirit. But as a matter of fact, you don't want me to pray for you because I got no power. I said, you'll be worse off when I pray for you. And she's kind of looking at me all crazy. I said, because it's not me. It's Jesus. He's the one that heals. It's the Holy Spirit that empowers me. So I have nothing to do with anything. And so we have to have that mindset of just going and just praying. So let's return. So back to Mark. So receiving healing involves faith. As soon as we're going back to blind Bartimaeus, as soon as he hears Jesus coming, he begins to shout. He had obviously heard of Jesus and was convinced that he could help him. And it's the same with the woman with the issue of blood. She heard Jesus was coming. She said, if I can only touch the hem of his garment, I will be made well. So blind Bartimaeus, he starts to cry out. He shouts out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy. This is an expression of faith. He believes Jesus can help. Not spur of the moment faith. He had been thinking of it. He's been like, oh man, I know Jesus can heal me. And then the crowd, no doubt, starts to yell at him, and they're telling him to be quiet, and be quiet, Bartimaeus, and he just gets even more loud. When you're desperate, when you need a touch from Jesus, you don't care. It's like the woman with the issue of blood. You don't care who's watching. You don't care about the social norms. I'm going to meet Jesus whether you like it or not. He was persistent. This is a characteristic of faith. Is persistence. That's, you know, a lot of the glory guys, they talk about faith is the currency of heaven. Faith is involved. Jesus noticed in his response in verse 49. Jesus engaged him to establish the existence of his faith and to strengthen it by having him express it. Bartimaeus acknowledged Jesus was able Bartimaeus acknowledges Jesus as able to heal blind, the blind folk or the blind people or blind or him. Whenever he had a detailed description of Jesus healing someone, we see the involvement of faith. God can heal you and you should come to him in faith. Faith is involved in healing. Now, there's a caveat to that. Let me read this and then I'll go to that. Because yes, there is a measure of faith in healing. But there's also times that your faith doesn't cut it, and it's the faith of your friends or faith of somebody else or the faith of the – I mean, I prayed for people who had no faith. Like, you can – I can – and not that I – hey, do you have faith? No, I can just – I've been around long enough that I listen to their words and what they're saying. I'm like, yeah, this is a shot in the dark for you. But my faith is there, and I'm like, Jesus is going to heal you. So some say that this is automatic. If you have enough faith, God will heal you. If not, your faith is to blame. I hate that. I don't like when people say that. Even if there is their faith is to blame, you don't need to go blast somebody about that. We exercise in love. I have not been, and I've been through the scriptures numerous times, I have not once, Jesus blast somebody for, not having faith. Now he has blasted his disciples. You guys, you have little faith. But he doesn't just blast people. And I believe we need to be loving with him and, encouraging people like, okay, we got this. And so what I mean by that, let me kind of pretty that up a little bit. Yes, Jesus did rebuke people for not having faith, but I've seen pastors do it in a very wrong, unloving way. There, I'll put you that way. Where they just blasted people, and I'm just like, yo, that was total messed up. Yeah, they definitely don't have faith now, and they're definitely not coming back to receive healing. So why would you represent Jesus like that? But in this case, there are instances in Scripture where people are healed regardless of their faith. You can go back to Jesus with the centurion. He said, the centurion said, would you heal my servant? I know that if you speak the word, it will be done. That the servant didn't have faith. The servant had no clue what was going on. He was just minding his own business, being sick or whatnot. But it was the faith of the centurion, of the guard. You have... Jairus' house, when his daughter was, when Jesus was walking with a woman with issue of blood, he was going to Jairus' house. His daughter died. His daughter was dead. She didn't have any faith, but it was the faith of the dad. Come and heal my daughter. Now Jesus kicked everybody out because he's like, man, I can't deal with y'all with all you lack of faith people. Get on out of here. All you crying people. And I say it this way, and you got to have faith. And I'll say why, when you got people who don't have faith. So we went to go pray for someone. We had a somebody that we knew passed away. And Glenn called me. We all went to the hospital. Glenn was there. Tiffany was there. Some other folks were there. Roger was there. I'm only using their names because they were on the right side. And so they were like, let's go pray. She's gonna come back to life. And all of us were like, yeah, that's right. Let's go for it. So we go into the hospital room and we're like laying hands on this lady. We're like, come back in the name of Jesus. We go down the line. Everyone had prayers of faith. Lord, bring her back, Lord. And we get to this other person who was praying for this lady. He was kind of the last one. We get to him and he's like, Lord, we commit her spirit to you. She's gone. She's not coming back, but Lord, receive her. And we're like, all I know, next thing I know, I turn around, I just see a backpack walking out the door. And that was Glenn. He grabbed his backpack, he just walked out. He didn't say goodbye. He didn't say nothing to nobody. He just walked out. And he was just like, what was that? But that's what Jesus did with the young girl. He had to send everybody out because you got all these boo-hoo people. When I go to, I've had a friend just recently tell me about a sickness that he has, a cancer that he has. And he says, I'm only telling you because... He said, I've only told you, I've only told my family and a select few because I know you'll pray. Other people I'll tell and you'll get that, oh no, you should be doing that. And there's no faith in it. And he's like, even when I travel and I go to Mexico or South Africa, I don't usually tell people I'm going. I tell certain people, I don't tell everybody because you get the, be careful, how the cartel. I don't know, they're killing people. I don't know what you want me to tell you. I don't know. I didn't know you had it that bad. And so I was listening to Kelvin tell another pastor friend of ours in Mexico all the dangers we were in. And I was like, oh, my God, how am I still alive? I do remember those guys with the machete and they wanted to kidnap us. Oh, my goodness, I do. I was like, oh, yeah, that was in South Africa. They were mad that a friend was taking us to the airport. And they're like, no, we're the taxi drivers. Who is this guy? And these dudes had machete. This is the first time I've seen Kelvin and Sean like, buck up and be like, it's about to go down. I'm in the back seat with all the luggage. I'm all, I'm going to die today. I'll be martyred for the kingdom. And so, I mean, we were in El Salvador. We had guns pulled out on us. But, and so we don't tell everybody because you get the naysayers. Oh, be careful. Yeah, same thing in the West Side. I don't tell people on the West Side. I told big churches, what do you guys do? This is what our church does. This is where we're at. Hey, do you guys have a church? Yes, we have a church. Where is your church at? It's on the West Side. Oh, yeah, nah, man, nah. Nah, man, I don't go that far. I'm like, you take your children to school down there. Nah, but I ain't coming down there. So, anyways, that was my old rabbit trail about faith. going back really quick, receiving healing is God's will. Bartimaeus received his sight not just because he had faith, but because it was God's will. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 10, Paul talks about his thorn in his flesh in that he pleaded with God three times to remove, but he didn't. Why? Because Paul's pain had a purpose, and in his weakness, he was made strong. This requires trust. Yes, it is God's will to heal you. Yes, it is God's will for you to be prosperous. God has a will for, you know, but there's some things that we do ask, you know, Father, if it's your will. You know, I don't usually ask, Father, is it your will that this person be healed? I don't ask that. Now, I do ask, Lord, if it's your will that I have $1 million, that you can ask, you know. Can I, you know, people ask, Lord, I just need a brand new Maserati. What do you need a Maserati? Well, it is. You know what I'm saying. People ask it for the wrong reason. People ask for cars and all this stuff, and it's not really necessarily God's will. But God's will is to save you. God's will is to heal you. God's will is for you to have intimate relationship with him. And so these things, we don't have to. Lord, is it your will that I receive the Holy Spirit? No, duh, Sherlock. Yes, it's his will. Anyways, don't get me on that tangent. But yes, it's his will. Jesus took care. Yes, it is will. Why? Because Jesus took care of all healing, all sin, all. He took care of it on the cross. I don't have answers to why some get healed and why some don't, but I do know that it is his will that you be healed. So how do we heal the sick? So going back to our first two questions, and we'll talk about how to heal the sick. Number one is, can Jesus heal you? And the answer is emphatically yes. Jesus can and wants to heal you. Secondly is, will he heal you? Is it in his will? Yes, it is in his will that you be made whole, that you be healed. And it's not just you as the believer, but even for the unbeliever. I've seen unbelievers get healed time and time after again. And I've seen more healings with unbelievers than I do with believers. Because believers is like, well, I don't know about that, brother. I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't like the way you prayed for me. You didn't pray long enough. You didn't do this. Yeah, it's like that religious, oh my goodness. So how do we heal the sick? And so this is where I want to equip you guys to go out. And it's really super simple, super easy, and it's nothing really scary. The only thing that you have to get past is going to people. You know, you don't necessarily need a word of knowledge for this. Yes, word of knowledge does play a heavy part in healing, but you don't have to have it per se all the time or be operating it all the time. Case in point, when we did this healing class, and we were walking out in the plaza there in Cuernavaca, and so one of the guys was like, all right, let's, Holy Spirit, who do we need to pray for? What do we need to do? And I'm looking around, and I'm like, you see that guy that's over there crying? You don't need a prophetic word to tell you, go minister to him. Like, use your eyes. Use what God's giving you. And so a lot of times it's just, you know, if you're out at the store, you see somebody with a broken leg. Holy Spirit, I need a word of knowledge. I think that person over there. No. You got a broken leg. I can totally see it. Yeah, he's on crutches. Let me go pray. You don't need that. But there's other times that the Holy Spirit will. Now, I'm not saying not to use it. Yeah, use the Holy Spirit. Every time that you heal or that you're operating in healing, you're asking the Holy Spirit to guide and help you. Because there's things that, you know, people say and do, and you're like, man, how the heck do I get out of this? Or how do I pray for this? The Holy Spirit will give you. So as we kind of wrap this all up, again, this is not the way, this is just a way. So this is what I do whether I'm at a church service, unless I'm like, you know, in a fast kind of repeating like church service where I have hundreds of people, you know, whatever, I'll go really quick. But if it's just one-on-one or I'm out, do this. Well, let me start here. And let me give you a quick little story, and then I'll go into this. This is so simple and so easy. When we were at the church we were at in Mexico, we did a healing class, and so we had a bunch of people come in. Everyone looked down and depressed. Everybody's just like that. I mean, just melancholy, sick. And I was like, even I was kind of like, oh man, this is a tough crowd here. But we start praying, and then I prayed for the first lady. She gets totally healed. I forgot what she had. She gets totally healed, starts crying, and then next lady comes up, and I didn't even have a translator. And so I'm just like, well, I don't have a translator, but you're sick. Enfermo, sí. Dolor, sí. Más dolor, no más dolor. I mean, I can get around. And so once I prayed for the first one, she got healed. I looked at this lady, said, okay, you've been healed. Now you go do it. So the next lady comes up. She prays for her. She gets healed. Now you're starting to see the atmosphere and stuff change. People are like, okay. Wow, this is cool. Kelvin's over there praying for folks. And then once these two get healed, then they go pray for other. And I prayed for one person. Everyone else did it. By the end of the evening, people were laughing, they were joking, they were high-fiving. Joy came in the room because they saw how easy this was and that it wasn't just me and Kelvin and Daniel and the pastor who can do it, but it's all of us. God called all of us to do it. The only difference, again, I do it, you don't. That's the only difference. We all should be doing it from time to time. It should be part of our daily lives. It's everywhere we go. It's expanding the kingdom of God. So, first thing I like to do is I like to do an interview. Especially if you're doing street evangelism and street and power evangelism, conduct a short interview. You're not getting their whole life story. You're just getting the key points. So you'll get people like this. Oh, when I was 2 years old, I was in a bus with my parents, and the bus had a car accident, and I was thrown out the window, and I broke my leg, and I saw that the bone was sticking out. And then all of a sudden, this dog came and licked my wound. I said, oh no, now I'm going to get a parasite. We don't need all that. And we get that. Like, I don't know why. And America is a little bit easier, but Mexico, good Lord, people are telling you stories, and I'm just like, okay, you're putting in details I did not want to hear. I did not want to know that. That's personal. Oh, my. Where'd that, you know? sometimes it's relevant, but you just want the key points. When I was younger, I got in a car accident. I had a traumatic brain injury. This is where I'm at, blah, blah, blah. Okay, we can work with that. But people like to put in details. We don't need all the details per se. You got to do it pretty quick. Also, part of the interview, I asked them, are you in pain at the moment? I always like to ask, on a scale of 1 to 10, where is your pain level? Pain being severe pain, 1 being little or no pain. This is to help us gauge what is happening. It also builds your faith and their faith knowing that something is happening. So if you're praying and they said, okay, when you first start, they're like, my pain's at an 8, a 9, 10, and it goes down to a 5, your faith goes up and their faith goes up. You're like, okay, something's happening. Okay. Now, if it goes the other way around, if you're just like, okay, I'm at a 10, but now I'm at a 12, I'm at a 13, okay, we got some issues there. So conduct an interview, and then you can kind of start your prayer. The next kind of thing that I do is I don't always start off with this, but if the Holy Spirit leads or if I pray and I'm hitting like a brick wall, the second kind of thing that I do is look for or ask the Holy Spirit, is there any unforgiveness? Sometimes I ask if there's anybody you need to forgive first, but not all the time. Others, I pray and it feels like I'm hitting a brick wall and nothing's progressing. And that's when I felt, you know, by the nudging of the Holy Spirit to ask them, is there anybody you need to forgive? And it's really simple. It's just a short little prayer. I'll ask them. If we're in a big crowd, you know, this is how I tell them, okay, I'll get to a part in the prayer. I want you to repeat after me. I'll get to a part in the prayer that you'll say, in the name of Jesus, I forgive. And I'll say, put that person's name. You can either say it in your mind. You can say it under your breath, you know, but you need to verbally say it and release them. Because sometimes, you know, what I do is to kind of protect dignity as best as possible. You know, if somebody's got hurt by their spouse, it's like, okay, is there anybody you need to forgive? Okay, and you're leading them to the prayer. I forgive Tiffany. And everybody's like, whoa. whoa, Josh had a, so it's Tiffany. Oh, okay. You know, and so we try to, we try to, you know, as best as possible, you know, keep their dignity. But at the end of the day, you know, people can lose their dignity for a few minutes and come out free. They'll be all right. So I'll ask them. So this is what the forgiveness, and I learned this from Toronto, John and Carol Arnott, they do this, and Toronto Revival Fires, their teams would do this, and so, I think it was them. And it's really simple. I've heard Kelvin say it enough to where I kind of molded to my way, but I'll ask him, okay, repeat after me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm coming to give a gift this person may not deserve. They have hurt me, and I have been wounded. So right now, I give them a gift. I ask that you, I forgive, and they'll put their person's name in. I release them. They owe me nothing. And because I've forgiven them, you will forgive me in the name of Jesus. And that's really it. And once they say that, I'll pray again, and boom. I mean, I've seen, it's like rapid fire. So that's usually what I do. So is there any unforgiveness? Now, as we're praying, it's, you always keep your eyes open. No, you don't have to. There's nowhere in Scripture where it says you got to close your eyes and bow your head. That's something Western culture man has said. But there's nothing in Scripture that says close your eyes. Keep your eyes open because you never know what's going on. I guarantee you, when you get punched in the face, you'll keep your eyes open a lot more. And because you never know. We were praying for this one guy. He started manifesting. I looked at my buddy who was praying with me. I said, keep your eyes open. I said, he's going to punch you in the face. And he kept his eyes closed. Next thing I know, got punched in the face. I said, I tried to warn you. Like, dude was manifesting. He's like, got socked in the face. Yeah, we've had people try to bite us. You know, they're arr, 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 you know, biting us. They're like, oh my goodness, zombies, you know. And so we've had that. You know, I've heard young ladies, this one lady were praying and she was manifesting. She started banging her head on the floor, like really hard. And I'm like, man, this is a lawsuit waiting to happen. I said, somebody grab her. So keep your eyes open just so you can see what's going on. You know, at this last rehabilitation center we were praying at, the pastor was like, hey, just stay aware. I know you guys know, but stay aware of your surroundings. They have professional murderers, professional kidnappers, all these people here. I'm like, okay, cool. So I'm like praying, and this one guy starts manifesting. So I go on high alert. I'm like, oh, here we go. So keep your eyes open just so you kind of know what's going on. And it's okay to ask and to talk to them and to gauge them. What I do when we start praying, if there's pain, command the pain to go in the name of Jesus. We are going for effect, not for the, you know, we want effect right now. There's some stuff that we don't know, like diabetes, cancer. I can't quantify that until you go to a doctor. So well, if there's pain in the name of Jesus, pain go, command the issue to go, command the issue to come into alignment. Jesus, by his stripes we are healed. Whatever you want to say, say it, but command the pain to go. Also, it doesn't have to be a long prayer. Case in point. Sometimes Jesus said very few words most of the time when he healed. You are healed. Pick up your mat. I mean, he didn't really go through a lot. We're the only ones that have that likes to say a lot of long prayer. Sometimes long prayers are a sign of insecurity. Oh Lord, hallelujah, Jesus, heal. Because you're afraid to. How do you feel? And so you have these long prayers, like you're going to do something. Nothing to do with the prayer. It's all about Jesus. So it's like you don't need a long prayer. Also, the reason why we don't do long prayers is that you can pray past the healing. You can pray past the healing. And what that means is you're praying for someone. You just said, in the name of Jesus, pain, go. Pain left their body. But you didn't ask them anything. So you're, Lord, we just command the pain to go and the body to come into kingdom alignment. And you're going for it. And you got to an hour. And the person's like, man, I was healed 20 minutes ago. And you're still going. Yeah, that was one time I was praying for a lady. And I didn't want her to freak out. So I'm like, this is what's going to happen. I said, I'm going to start praying. And I'm praying. Her leg starts growing out. And I'm like, Yeah, I'm explaining what's going to happen so she wouldn't freak out. And Jesus was like, shut up. You're taking way too long. I'll just do it myself. And her leg starts growing out and her daughter's freaking out. I'm like, even I was like, oh, I guess Jesus said I'm taking too much time. You know? And so you can pray past the prayer. It doesn't have to be a long prayer. Just ask them where it is. Once you do that, check and see. That's the next thing that I tell people to do. Check to see what's going on. This part makes people nervous because we never know what to expect. So ask the person, how are you feeling? Is there any pain? Ask, what's the pain level at now? Is it going up? Is it going down? So Lord, in the name of Jesus, pain go. Where's your pain level? It's at a 5. Okay, cool. A lot of people say, all right, great, hallelujah, your pain's at a 5, and they leave. I'm notorious for being, you're at a 5, we want a 1. Let's pray again. Where are you at now? 4. Let's pray again. Where are you at? 2. Let's pray one more time. I'm at a 0 or a 1. Hallelujah. Just keep on praying. It's okay. Just keep commanding. Pain, leave. Sometimes, you'll know it's a spirit, especially when you're praying for pain. They'll say, oh, my shoulder hurts. And then you start praying, oh, now my neck hurts. Oh, now my hip hurts. And something's moving around. It's like, oh, man, that was a spirit there. Spirit of infirmity. Now we got to go tackle him down and stuff. So check and see. Sometimes you'll get people and it's really quick. You know, I'm at a 10. I played with people. They've gone from 10 to 1 like that. Your prayer doesn't have to be long. It doesn't have to be all, thus saith the Lord. It doesn't have to be in King James. Don't. You don't have to pray in King James. You don't have to pray in Latin. You don't have to pray in Aramaic. Just pray like you would. Even if you're, I mean, even when I'm in other countries, especially in Mexico, you know, I don't speak Spanish, but I know a little bit. And I can just, I just pray normal. I just pray in English. They may not know what I'm saying, but their spirit definitely knows what I'm saying. And it's not, you know, it's not anything I have to, the Holy Spirit's like, oh man, I can't reach these people. They speak Spanish. We need to call Jesus. He's the one that speaks Spanish. No, you just start praying and going for it and it will take care of it. It'll take care of itself. So check and see. Where's your pain level at, you know? I do, I'll throw in some, because I know a little, you know, when I'm praying for people, I'll know, like, especially with baptism of the Holy Spirit, you know, in the nombre de Jesus, Genela, Espíritu Santo, come, mas, you know, we can do that. But I'll ask people, you know, I do know in, you know, Spanish, all right, dolor, diez, cero, no más, dolor, and they'll gauge in. So just kind of go. But I also believe, and I've noticed this, one of the gifts of the Spirit is interpretation of tongues or hearing other, you know, you go back to Acts 2, where they're all speaking in tongues and people from other nations are saying, we hear them in our own language. Yes, there's interpretation of tongues where somebody can speak in tongues and you hear the interpretation. But for whatever reason, I tap into that, especially when I'm in Mexico. They'll tell me a whole sentence. I have no translator, nobody's around me, but I always know what's going on. And I'll tell them, okay, you have this, this, and this. And they'll be like, see. And I'm like, how the heck did I know all that? I mean, I'll just know stuff. And so, you know, it's not a direct, you know, people think interpretation of tongues, it's a direct word-for-word translation, but that's not really what it is. It's a generalization. This is what the key concept is. So check and see, you know, and if everything's good, then you thank Jesus. That's the last thing you do. Once you see, oh, you know, hallelujah, who did it? You know, you get people, you did. No. Jesus did. You want people, because Jesus gets the glory. It's not us. Jesus always gets the glory. So when they're healed, you just, all right, how do you feel? Oh, I feel great. Who did it? You know, if they don't know, kind of help them point up to the sky. Jesus? Jesus? See, you know, they'll tell you. Now, when that does happen, we have to be careful of how we speak to people in that. So if you have people who are on medications for serious stuff, don't be like, God healed you. You don't need to take your medication anymore. Don't do that. You know, you ain't a doctor. You're not an MD. So for me, I'll tell people, you know, if you feel like God's healed you, don't stop taking your medicine, but go to the doctor, get it confirmed. And if it's confirmed, then whatever he says, if you've been healed, then go for it. Hallelujah. You don't need anymore. But don't stop taking stuff. You know, I knew a lady, you know, she had cancer. And she was doing she was a friend of my grandmother's. And she was like, Jesus is going to heal me. She didn't take it. The doctor's like, man, you need to take this. You need to do this. No, Jesus is going to heal me. Now, I totally believe that Jesus can do that. But you have to have the revelation for yourself. Okay? You got to make sure you hear from the Lord. I didn't hear for this lady, so I'm not telling her otherwise. And so I'm just like, okay, cool. We're going to pray with you. And she died. So, yeah, not that Jesus didn't heal her. She just didn't do her stuff. But there's people who do that. Oh, man, I'm going to stop taking my meds and whatever, and they get all jacked up. I'm not saying do that, okay? Now, if God gives you you personally has the revelation, you do it. But if you're praying for somebody, don't step into that. Don't. That's in my another teaching. I'll go into that more detailed. But yeah, don't do that. Just hallelujah, Jesus healed you. Well, what if you're praying and you prayed 3, 4, 5 times and nothing happens, and you know they still have a little pain? Well, you know, I just say, well, you know, just continue to contend for the healing. I said you might get it tomorrow. I don't know. You know, yeah, Grace, she got healed. She got prayed for. And it took her 3 days till the manifestation actually came. So it's never, oh, well, your faith didn't heal you or God didn't heal you. It's nothing like that. It's just, hey, man, let's continue to contend for your health. I'm going to continue to pray with you and believe that God heals your body and that you'll be all right. You go to the lepers. The Bible says that as they left, they were healed. So that's really much it. So in a nutshell, that's just on a very, this is very scaled down, simple. You know, one of these days I'm going to actually sit down and do an actual teaching, you know, couple hour teaching on healing and really going down into and really digging deep into suffering and why do we do this, and I mean some heavy stuff. But this is what we're all called to do. It's we are commanded to heal the sick. And it's not just for you, but for your family. It's for the unbeliever. It's when you're at the store and you see somebody, it's whoever the Lord just lays on your heart, just like, hey. Yeah, and it doesn't matter. Like, we were at Six Flags the other day, and I was with Shiloh. Ashley went on a ride, and for whatever, and this is how God works. God, the Holy Spirit tugs on people's heart, whether they say, oh, it's my conscience or this or that, but the Holy Spirit nudges. He's the one that compels. Now, whether they believe in Jesus or put their trust in Jesus, that's on them, but the Holy Spirit convicts people of sin. They convict people. They convict the world. So this man, I don't know why, but the kid that was operating the cart or the ride tells Asher that his leg is broke or hurt. So Asher comes running out. Oh, hey, guess what, Daddy? The guy's leg is hurt. Blah blah blah. And, you know, Asher's just running. So he's like, let's go pray for him. So they go back up and come to find out he had a soccer injury when he was younger, and they prayed for him and went on their way. And he seemed very excited, right? He said, Asher did. Yeah, 8-year-old Asher. And so the guy just said, the guy's like, man, I hope you guys come back. Now, me as a dad and as a pastor, it wasn't, good job, Asher. Did he get healed? How do you know? Did you stay and ask him? Did you give him the pain scale? How did you know he got healed? You know, Tiff's like, stop grilling him, Josh. He's doing it now, did it. Yes, they were obedient. I was like, but you didn't quantify if he was healed or not. But you can do it wherever you want and you know, whenever you want, wherever you want. You just got to go and do it. And the more you do it, the easier it gets. The harder it is, you know, even if you don't see the manifestations, you just keep on doing it. And you're just like, all right, well, what's going on? How am I doing this? But you go, we're called to heal the sick. And it doesn't matter if it's cancer, it doesn't matter if it's a headache or a hangnail. Jesus wants to heal all that, and he wants us to step into that. And so my homework this week is go find somebody. Use words of knowledge if you want. Be at work, be whatever. Now, as we really get into it, I mean, you can pray over handkerchiefs and here, send this over. You don't even have to be. Tiff is notorious for this. Come here, Kayla, Asher. Like, she'll know people who are sick or people who need prayer, and you can tell they don't want to be prayed for, and so she'll come here. She'll just put her hand on them and just talk to them, and while they're talking, giving her answer, she's praying, okay? But she's not like, in the name of Jesus. She's just like, all right, Holy Spirit, like, we just love this person, like, Lord. And as they're talking, they might be talking about their day. Thanks, Asher, whoever you are. There we go. So yeah, you just think of clever ways to do stuff. We are called to heal, and Jesus wants us to go out to heal the sick, cast out devils, raise the dead freely. You've received healing. He wants us to give it out freely. And this is my last thing. I don't think you should ever, this is just me personally, clearly states, freely you receive, freely give. People like to send $1,000, brother, and you'll get, we'll send this prayer cloth with the anointing oil, and you will be healed. Nah, man, if you want to buy my e-course on how to heal, you want to buy my book, that's fine. You can pay for that. But for me to come pray for you for healing, I'm not charging you. You shouldn't be charged. You need deliverance? I'm not charging you. Don't even give me a donation. It's free. This is free. I've received freely, so I'm giving freely. Now, you want me to come and preach at your church? No, that's a different story. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, this lady was trying to... So for those who didn't hear online, Tiff was telling a story how she was praying for one of our next door neighbors and she gets healed and she's like, I'm going to call my insurance. Can you write up an invoice and so they can pay you? And Tiff's like, no, that's not how that works. This is free. Man, the gospel's free. Healing's free. You can take it or leave it, man. It's free. So what you're doing this out of the love. It's having a heart and compassion. It's seeing people the way Jesus sees people. And you know, if that opens the door to you sharing the gospel and they give their heart to Jesus, awesome. It's kind of hard to deny Jesus when you're in a wheelchair and now you can get out. I remember this, I got back to Mexico and I prayed for this guy. My faith was already up there. I prayed for this guy and he got out of the wheelchair. And I'm like, yo, this is awesome. Yeah, his wife's walking home with the empty wheelchair. I said, hey, Dondra, where's Chris at? Why are you pushing this empty wheelchair? And I always got to say it because you got to say it the way she did. She said, she looked at me, she said, Pastor, he said he don't need this no more. I said, all right, he don't need no more then. All right. And they used it just as a seat. They just put it outside on their porch and they just sat in it. That was just another chair. So, but again, Jesus commands us to heal, and it's very easy. It's very fun. And as you start seeing manifestations, it really builds your faith. And you're like, man, this is fun. It's just something that gets this is what really gets me going, is seeing people healed and seeing people. And you'll know when they're healed because you'll get the fake people and those who've been in church for a while. You pray for them, and they give you that, I'm better, brother. Thank you. All right. And they go back to their seat. But those who really totally get touched, their countenance changes, their faith. You'll see them. Test it out. Well, I don't know. Oh my goodness. Yes, I'm not in pain. You know, tell people to do stuff. Like, test it out. Have a broke leg. Well, jump on it. Do something. You know, tell them to test it out a little bit. And that's where it gets nerve-wracking too, because you never want to, like, you know, that was always my thing. Pray for somebody in a wheelchair. Get up in the name of Jesus. And you pick them out the wheelchair and they crumble back down to the floor. Sorry, buddy. My faith wasn't there. You know, while you're running off. But just be bold. It's being bold and it's taking a risk. And if he can do it if the Lord can use the people in Mexico to do that, who didn't have any formal training, who are just lovers of Jesus, if they can do, then we can do. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that you our God that is still into healing today, and that you have given us the command and the authority to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cast out demons. And that authority comes because of you. It comes through the Holy Spirit. And so, Father, I ask that you give us the boldness to go out and to pray and to lay hands on the sick, Lord. It says, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So, Lord, we just exercise our faith in who we are as kingdom people to go out and to lay hands on the sick, to establish the kingdom of God wherever we go. So, Lord, we pray, we praise you, we honor, in your name we pray, amen.